Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, I want to take you on a journey today about how to build a solid home. Now, no one, including myself, are experts at building a solid home, but I believe that God's Word does give us expert advice. How many believe that? Amen? And I do know that church and Christianity is only as strong as the family. And so I want you to go with me on a journey for the next 4 weeks about how you keep it together. Now, in this job, I get to see a lot of families fall apart, and I get to see even many, many more make it. But I have a PhD in hard knocks and watching how families fall apart and not make it. How they just, you know, seem like they're just fantastic one day and then 6 months later or a year later because of bad choices and calendars and losing their way and false intimacy on Facebook with an old boyfriend. I mean, there's 100 different ways Satan can destroy your family. And he really doesn't care what way he uses to destroy your family, as long as he destroys it. Now, you may be dating, and or you may be married, or you may be in the situation that Jenny and I are in. We're trying to raise good kids, but our goal is not to raise good kids. Our goal is to raise godly kids that love the Lord, and that's not always easy. And everybody says, well, you know how preacher's kids are. Well, I got an antidote or an answer for that. It's because they hang around deacon's children all day long. All right. So let's talk about some things. One of the first things you're going to have to do to build a very strong family is to solve conflict. And that's the one thing that all of us are very interested in. How do you solve conflict between a man and a woman? When I get to heaven, I'm not going to ask God, did Adam have a belly button? I'm going to ask him, what were you thinking when you created a woman? Because they think completely different than men, and men will swear that they're communicating to women, and the woman will look and say, you never said any of that. All you men that have enough boldness, have been through that, and you're not a coward, lift your hands just real quietly. See, you know what I'm talking about. All the women that thinks I'm crazy and all the guys that lifted their hands are crazy, well, you just lift your hands. That's what I thought right there. So when we begin to talk about keeping our home together, the first thing we want to do is say, you know, you got to solve conflict. You got to, and see, there's three areas of conflict in a marriage or a dating relationship. Number one, it's the conflict within. There's a conflict within marriage, and there's a conflict in family. If you'll get the conflict within taken care of, most of the time it will take care of the conflict with the marriage and with the family. But here's the point. We can't talk about that right now, even though we all want to, because those are the main issues in many of our marriages or our dating relationships. So, number two, we want to solve a calendar. How many of you believe people in life is way too busy right now? Just way too busy. Everything's against us. And so as we try to build strong families, we want to start with conflict, but you can't address conflict till you address a calendar. Until you understand that solving time is 50% of the problem anyway. In a dating relationship or a marriage, it's called quality time. But we can't talk about quality time until we talk about building in specific ways, until we build sacred. And so for us to build families that stay together, we want to talk about solving conflict, but we can't solve conflict until we solve calendar. And we want to talk about solving the calendar, about putting quality time with our children and our spouses and our person we're dating and all of the other things. But we can't talk about calendar until we talk about building sacred. And so to build sacred actually means to be set apart. It's the word holy. And holy doesn't mean what movies you don't go to or what movies you do go to. And yes, that is an issue. But holy means that you are set apart for God's work. But we can't even talk about building a sacred family where our children go to heaven and are Christians, not just good kids, without really talking about building solid. And so while we want to talk about conflicts, why she said what she said and why he acts the way he acts, We can't really talk about conflict until we talk about quality time and about building a calendar for our family. But we really can't talk about building quality time until we talk about building sacred, which means how do you build a holy family? How do you build a family or a marriage or a dating relationship that's set apart, that's different from the world? But we can't really talk about building sacred until we learn to build solid. Now, I want to explain something to you. Up here, I got two bunny rabbits. They're both made of chocolate. They're both in the same kind of form of a bunny rabbit. Now, I know it's not Easter yet, but it's going to help me prove a point right here. There's a difference between these two bunny rabbits. The difference between these two bunny rabbits is that this one, when I put pressure on it, does not fall apart. This is made of solid chocolate. And so there are homes that are solid. But this bunny rabbit, when I put pressure on it, there it goes. He broke his little neck. Look. Makes me want to eat chocolate. That looks pretty good right now. I didn't have much of breakfast right there. But the point is, this bunny rabbit is solid and this bunny rabbit is hollow. And you don't know which one's which until you put pressure on it. You put the pressure of time and a calendar, or put the pressure of conflict on your marriage or your family or your children's relationship, or you put pressure on sacred things, on being holy, or you put pressure. You never know which one's which until you put pressure on it. And so the point is, if you're going to build a great family for God and to keep it together, you got to build solid, not hollow. If you build off of hollow things, when the pressure comes against you and your wife, when the pressure comes against you and your children, when the pressure comes against your calendar, when the pressure comes against your quality time, when the pressure comes against your sacred things, then you know what's going to happen? Your family, or it's not going to keep it together, you're going to fall apart. Now everybody go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, and I want to show you something. Now Colossians is actually the city of Colossae, and Colossae is the church of Colossians. That's why Paul is writing this letter to the church of Colossians, which is the city of Colossae. Now there was something going on because the waters in this church was very muddied. They were living in a world much like ours today. Ladies and gentlemen, when we have to explain to our children there's a difference between being a male and a female, when we have to explain to our children it doesn't matter whether the government legalizes marijuana or not, there are still principles of sobriety and being of good mind and sober. I have people all the time tell me, well, God created marijuana. Yeah, but he created cow poop. Doesn't mean he wants you to put it in your mouth and smoke it. Somebody say amen. And not to even, I used to be an alcohol and drug abuse counselor, so it's not to even mention how much more dangerous marijuana smoke is to your lungs than regular cigarettes. But a bunch of politicians who cannot balance a checkbook won't tell you that. I'll move right along, okay? And so what Colossians was doing is they had the waters muddied. And Paul was writing to them and said, listen, we got to clear up some things right here. And we need to talk about this. And he said, and what Paul was saying is that there is these world philosophies going on in the church of Colossae that where Christian principles are being mixed in with non-Christian principles, things that are clearly Christian. And he says, we got some problems going on and it's affecting our families. Many people don't realize that the book of Colossians is actually to the families. And I want to take you on a journey in it very quickly this morning, and then I want to begin to dissect. Look at verse 3. Colossians 1 and 3. And now, if you don't have a Bible, I want you to ask an usher to get you one. I want you to scoot over someone next to someone, because I cannot teach you how to build solid without you knowing where to find absolute truth at. For you to read the Word of God, for you to read the Bible. So everybody listen carefully, and Lisa, if you could put it up on the screen, that'll be great. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we have heard of your pistis, your faith, in Christ Jesus, and of the love which we have to all the saints. Now let me go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. You want to build a solid family? There's your two principles, faith and love. You got to build a solid home with faith and a solid home with love. Now, verse 4 says, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, then love which we have all to the saints. Now, look at verses 9 through 14, because verses 9 through 14 is actually Paul's prayer for your family. And this is a prayer, and we'll get to it later, but this is a prayer you should be praying over your family. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14, but skip to verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And for by him, talking about Jesus, all things were created. Family, marriage, dating, jobs, you name it. Everything was created by him that are in heaven, and the Bible says that are in earth. Visible and invisible. And I usually talk about this scripture when I'm dealing with quantum physics. But today I'm talking about something even more important than quantum physics and atoms. I'm talking about the importance of you making the right choice to build solid in your families, in your relationships, your dating relationships, and in your home with your children. And so it says, they were visible and invisible, whether by thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, they were all created by him. And so it says nothing in life was not created by Christ. And look at verse 17. And for him, and he is before all things. In other words, Jesus is before everything in the creation, in the earth, and in the heavens. And it says, and by him. Now watch this. It says, and he is before all things, and by him, it's the Greek word through, by him all things consist, which means hold together. If you're going to build solid, then maybe the best place to start is Jesus Christ that has created everything, and all things on earth are held together because of him. So number one, write this down. When you want to build solid, you got to build a Christ-centered family. You got to build a Christ-centered dating relationship. You got to build a Christ-centered marriage. You got to build Christ-centered children. Our goal cannot be to raise kids that stay out of jail. Our goals cannot be to have children with a 4.0 and all of my kids have got straight A's. That's not the point. We want them to be smart. We want them to be intellectually astute. We want them to be the Apostle Paul. But we also want them to have a faith in Christ that is deep, and we want to build solid, not hollow. And so there's this tension of building solid between building hollow. And here's the thing. I have a question for you. This is very vanilla this morning, but it will absolutely get you through the worst time of your life. And while I'm teaching, the teaching may be very simple and elementary today. You need to understand something. It is extremely complex to practice. Now, number one, I want to ask you a question. As your pastor, who or what is the center of your life? Who or what is the center of your life? Is your business the center of your life? Is your marriage the center of your life? Are your children the center of your life? Is your ego the center of your life? Is maybe your hobbies are the center of your life? Who is or what is the center of your life? You say, well, I'm not sure. Where do you spend the majority of your time? How do you decide your calendar? How do you decide what's sacred in your home? The Bible says he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And as Christians, we got a big problem here. We got a big problem because what we do is we put Michael up here in our family, and we put Jenny over here, and we put Lily right here, and we put Ella, and we put Aiden, and we say to ourselves, we're a Christian family because we put Jesus in here with the rest of us. Well, see, that's the big problem, and that's what's wrong with a lot of Christian families. Jesus is nothing but a part of your family. And when Jesus is just a part of your family, you're building hollow, not solid. And the only thing that's going to get you through a generation where they're trying to have sexual reassignment surgery for seven-year-olds, and that is child abuse. Go ahead and put me in jail if you want to. Too bad. It's child abuse. The only thing that's going to make a difference is when we learn how to build solid rather than hollow. And how do you build hollow? You build a hollow family when you put your wife and your spouse and your children in it, and then you put over here in the same kind of level, Jesus. Well, the problem with this model is that everyone is wrestling to be the center. One day it's Lily, the other day it's Ella, the next day it's Aiden, one day it's Jenny, the other day it's Michael. And then on Sundays we'll put Jesus as a center. Well, see, that's hollow living, and that's how to build a hollow family. Because when the wind blows, the sender is not stable. There's a hollowness to the walk with God. But ladies and gentlemen, when we take Michael, and we take Lily, and we take Jenny, and we take Ella, and we take Aiden, then you know what's going to happen? We put Jesus in the middle, and then when he's at the center of our family, then our families become solid, not hollow. And see, there's a big difference here. And it's not easy to do this. And this has my family up on it, but put your family here. So my question is, who's at the center of your family? Who's at the center of your dating relationship? Listen, do you know what the church that's solid needs to be telling their children? We need to be teaching our children, marry only real solid Christians. How many of you are tired of the world and the sin and all of the craziness? Let's just say craziness. I mean, am I the only one who thinks this world has lost a wheel? I mean, am I the only one watching the news and thinking, what are these people thinking? Am I the only one that wants a president that knows how to talk and not curse? Am I the only one that thinks Nancy Pelosi shouldn't ever have ripped up a speech? You see, if you hadn't figured it out, I'm not purple and I'm not blue. What is the two colors? Red, I'm purple. My allegiance is to Jesus, not the Democrats or the Republicans. Say amen. And so the point is, we got to learn to build solid. This world is going crazy. Listen, you can't even watch Sesame Street without a drag queen in front of you. You can't even turn on the news. You can't even watch PBS and Downton Abbey without having to face these issues. And I have friends that are living and lead these issues. And so I understand the world. I'm part of it. I have people that I love just like you do. But however, this world where lawlessness is abounding and relationships are bad and moms leave children out in cars in Arizona to die and dads abandon their families. Folks, the only way we're going to change something outside of voting out unrighteousness is for us to begin to build incredible families that are solid and not hollow. And the first place that starts is to teach our children, hear, O Israel, there is only one God. You cannot get to heaven through kissing a Shinto shrine. You cannot get to heaven by licking or rubbing Buddha's belly. You cannot get to heaven by blowing yourself up in as an iman for holy jihad. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and rose again, and on the third day sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I, and those that love him do what he asks them to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we get a clarion call in the church. We can have all the great programs. We're getting ready to hire a Disney Imagination Company to go back here and decorate our children's facilities. We have a merry-go-round and a coffee bar in our church, and all of that's great and all of that's good. But the day we have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, it's over for us. We have to have a solid relationship with Jesus, not a hollow one. And how do you define that in simple old vanilla? Who's the center of your family? And don't think that I don't have the same stress as you do. We have to decide which state, which parent is going to go to on a Sunday during the summer to go to soccer. Jenny will go to Evansville and I'll go to Paducah. We all face those problems. But I want to tell you something else. As Christian people, if we would make sure that Sunday morning is honored and Wednesday night is honored, then maybe they won't practice when their superstars refuse to come. But my kids aren't superstars. I'm talking about your children. In other words, we got to draw a line in the sand, and we have to be careful of pluralism. Or Paul would have used the word syncretism. And that's what Colossians is dealing with. They're dealing with these worldviews and philosophies that are coming into the church, and they're adding Christian principles to it. But folks, the only way out, or may I say the only way up, is for us to begin to build solid families, not hollow families. And if you want to build a solid family, you must ask yourself the first question: who's the center of my family? What is the center of my dating relationship? If it's sex, you're in trouble. Because one of these days, things are going to begin to sag and things are going to begin to lag. Can I get a witness? I'll tell you a funny joke. I told Aiden the other day, we were talking, I don't know how we got on this subject. We got on talking about my ex-girlfriends, and I don't know how I brought it up, but that's just the subject we were on. And I looked at him, I said, boy, I said, there was a day when your daddy was young that he kind of had it. And he kind of had a, how can I put this as a preacher? he was well-liked. And Aiden looked at me and said, I kind of doubt that. Little punk, so we say, man. So, all right, back to spiritual things. Are you ready? You can build hollow or you can build solid. And the difference between building hollow or solid, the difference between being hollow or solid is Christ is at the center of the relationship or Christ is just a part of the relationship. And so I want to encourage you to make Jesus the part of your relationship that is solid. Now everybody go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. This is very important, and I could literally, actually, and I don't like talking about this a lot, but my second doctorate is in the subject of worldviews amongst Christian children and how you get Christian children truly discipled. In a secular university is where I'm at. I'm not at a Christian university. I'm at a very secular university. So Colossians 2 and 8 is extremely important to me, academically and also as a parent, but also even as a dating relationship. The Bible says, see to it. The Greek word is blepo. Blepo means I see. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. Be very, very careful right here. I'll explain why in just a moment. Which depends on human traditions and the elementary spiritual forces of the world rather than Christ. All right? Now, when you see the word blepo, what the Bible is saying is that you've got to understand that if the, one of the differences between building solid or being hollow is that Christ is at the center or Christ is just a part of your family. Sunday is something we honor if we feel like it. Jesus is something we do on Wednesdays if we're not tired. Bible studies in our home or talking about our faith with our children is haphazard. But if you build solid, it means Jesus is at the center of your family. Now, number two, you got to ask yourself, who's the center of my family? Number two, you got to ask yourself, what worldview is predominating my family? Is it a solid worldview? Or is it a hollow worldview? And Paul is beginning to address this to families. He says, take care, make sure you see to it, that no one leads you captive. The word see means to make sure you're not blind. Let me put it in plain old English. My new book for Easter is coming out for evangelism. And it's the five deceptive philosophies of this world that our families are facing. Number one, let's take evolution. I am not against theistic evolution. However, there is little mathematical proof for such a thing. You can start with the Cambrian fossil records and realize that what they're finding at the end of the Cambrian fossil stratification of this earth, which is the lowest part of the earth, are complete life forms. They are not finding intermediate life forms. You can take the mathematical improbability of mutations. Yes, there is a brown bunny who mutates into a white bunny when he migrates or evolutionizes into an Antarctic area. However, when you try to take that same principle and move it over to species, crossing species, or you move it over from a sheepdog that migrates or evolves into the great white whale, and that is exactly what evolution teaches, the first problem, according to Cornell University, is it takes 100 million years just for two mutations. Just take teeth, canine teeth turning into flanges, and take a urinary tract system inside of a humpback whale that now has to go down deep into the ocean compared to the lungs of an animal that is living and breathing on land. Cornell University says it'll take 100 million years for two mutations. Evolution only requires 9 million years. So there are problems, not to mention evolution is the greatest racist theory ever known to mankind. Go read what Margaret Sanger of Planned Parenthood, who loved Charles Darwin and read his Origins of the Species, which I might add was written six times and changed six times. And I might add that Charles Darwin at the age of 14 was a born-again Christian studying for the ministry, but his father, and listen to me dads, and his grandfather caused him to leave his faith. And science, and we're going to get into it in the coming weeks, science says that if a father doesn't continue to educate himself, the older his son gets, the more likely he is to drop off of faith in church. So fathers are crucial and mothers are crucial at building solid children or hollow children. And so Paul says these philosophies about male and female. Do you realize 64% of Generation Z says you are the gender you feel? Folks, there's only one way to do, and that is to build solid families, not hollow families, to put Christ as the center of the family, not as a part of the family. And then we have to build this worldview. Look where it says take captive. Now, he says it'll take you captive, which means literally in the Greek to make a prey, P-R-E-Y. It means to strip, to rob, to kidnap, to carry off the bounty. It's figurative for the destruction of effects of false teachers. All around us, our children are being taught false things. Now, let me just make sure I'm in the right crowd. How many of you believe that the Bible is God's word and completely true to us? Let me see your heads. Now, if that's the case, then Paul says that when we try to build solid and we end up building hollow, one of the reasons we build hollow is because of vain philosophies, which are called worldviews, how you view the world. And so you have to be careful because there is a destruction to false teachers. Are you asking your children what they believe about certain things and what they're learning in school? This church is and will always be pro-academic. Someone say amen. But we will not apologize for the intelligence of a rational logos God who created the heavens and the earth and the wisdom he gives us about how to live life. Amen. And so we have to be careful because Paul says there will be destructive philosophies that will carry off our kids. And then look at the word philosophy. Underline that and write in your Bible. And if you can't write in that Bible, you go put that one in a museum and you find you one you can write in. Be very, 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 very careful here. That word philosophy is not in any way, shape, or form connected to the word philosophy in the 21st century. It is a completely different word and used in biblical literature that absolutely means one specific thing. The word philosophy there means the doctrine of heathens that are full of speculations. Speculations. I think it's interesting that St. Peter in 2 Peter says at the end of time, the argument apologetically will be whether or not the earth was flooded. Well, you never hear this, but go to the Grand Canyon and look at the top of it and study what they found at the top of the Grand Canyon. They found marine life that is only found at the bottom of the deepest places of the ocean. If that's not enough for you, go study the man that found the Titanic, Robert Ballard, who has now discovered a shoreline at the base of Mount Ararat. And this was on ABC News, Good Morning America. The video was on YouTube. And they found a civilization flooded 5,323 BC, 250 times the water force of Niagara Falls, 500 feet beneath the Black Sea. And it dates to the exact time the Bible says the world was flooded. If that's not enough, listen to me carefully. The Muslims, Sumer community, Akkadia, Syria, Persia, Babylon, the Jews, the Muslims, they all say in their ancient literature that the world was flooded at one time. And so many of us don't even know how to answer these questions. One of the things that always bothered me, and I'm going to get off my message just for a second. It's really not off of it, it's on it. I always got bothered by the skeletons of prehistoric men. Until I simply learned to look underneath the skull. and also look at the nasal bone. Monkeys that wear sunglasses look like this because they don't have a nasal cavity bone. Humans have a nasal cavity bone, and that's why we can wear sunglasses. Monkeys cannot. There's lots of pictures on Google of a monkey wearing glasses, and it always looks like this. You want to know why? Because he doesn't have a nasal bone. Now, what you need to understand is I could talk about that for an hour, and actually I did a thing for Perry Stone for an hour and 45 minutes on this very subject. But the next time you need to teach your children, if you want to build solid rather than hollow, turn the skull upside down. If the hole is in the middle, the foramen, it means that creature must walk on two legs. If the hole is in the back, it means the creature must walk on all four legs. And what we don't have, John Mark, is a foramen evolving from the middle to the back. And Paul says we got to be careful about vain philosophies and philosophies of heathens that are speculative. At the end of the day, people don't want there to be a God, because if there's a God, it's going to change the way you live. Somebody say amen. And so it says they're empty. Now, you know that word Greek in empty is what it means? It's the Greek word for hollow. So it says that families that try to build outstanding families for God are made hollow because of empty philosophies. And I wish I could talk about, I want to talk about this subject. I talk for weeks about this subject. There's research out now to prove that if you're in an evangelical, spirit-filled church, that your children are struggling with this issue. Now, the good news is your children are 20% to 25% more likely to be engaged Christians than even conservative Christians. We won't talk about mainline denominations that are not conservative. It's a slaughterhouse for your children. And those are not my words. Call me and I'll show you. Right now in my office, come back there, I got a stack of paper that big on that subject. One research project after the other. So it says, be careful, because these hollow philosophies that are deceptive, made of human traditions, according to the elements, he says, which in the beginning, the Greek culture would have said, if you saw the phrase, according to the elements, would have meant earth, fire, water, wind. But now, in this particular passage, that word actually means ABC. So Paul says these deceptive philosophies keep our families from being solid, because they're hollow philosophies that are deceitful according to the traditions of men, and they are actually only dealing with the ABCs. How many believe when you study God's word thoroughly, there's depth to it? Can I see your hands? Vote or keep your heads down. Let me see your heads. There's the difference between how to build solid and how to build hollow. So Paul literally says, now watch this, I'm closing, Jeremy coming up. Heresy, hollow Christianity, and I'm talking to Christian families. Hollow Christianity, where Christ is not the center and where no one is paying attention to vain philosophies, is actually planned and organized. And I don't have time to get into that, but go read Ephesians chapter 6 and you'll understand it a little better. What do you do with the parents who say, I'm not going to tell my children what to believe? Everybody go to Proverbs 22 and 6 real quick. You may already know it. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when it is old, it shall not depart from it. Listen to me from my heart. No child accepts Christ and is discipled in Christ by accident. It must be intentional and purposeful. From the Sunday school teachers to the kind of church you attend. And don't send me any letters about that, because I ain't going to read them anyway. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go, it means in the Greek, here's the actual Greek word for train, to develop a person's behavior by instruction through practice. To develop a person's behavior by instructions through practice. So the Bible contradicts this mentality that you've got to let children figure out what they want to believe. Now, you're going to laugh at me, But there's two people I've been praying for. I met her daddy in an air, I didn't even know who he was, in an elevator in Dallas, Texas, not long ago, Katy Perry. And I have been praying for Katy Perry, and I've been praying for Brad Pitt, because both of them were raised in a godly home. Katy Perry's mom and dad are wonderful people. I have friends that are their best friends. Brad Pitt's mother, I'm so proud of her. She stood up for life and said, life begins in the womb, and if you murder a baby, dear God, we're not even talking about baby in 3-4 weeks. We're talking about let it be born and then have the right to kill it. Folks, this world's coming off its hinges, and the only hope is you and Christ in you. It's the only hope. The only hope for Madisonville and its future is not in the economy. Because God says He'll bless you if you give. He'll take care of you if you'll put Him first, if you have a Christ-centered family. The only hope for Madisonville is for us to begin to raise good, godly children. That's why we're going to open the Western Kentucky Dream Center, and we're going to help alleviate poverty and a poverty mindset out of people. Now listen, that's very difficult, because one sociological fact is that the poor do not attend church predominantly. And if you are in the poverty line or under and you are in church today, it is a miracle. And we have 1,300 people who call this place home, 1,800 at Easter. It's a miracle. And so we want to alleviate poverty and help families get out of that kind of mindset. But at the end of the day, Paul says, listen, it's the mindset. And so you have to be intentional about raising godly children, not unintentional. In other words, Andy's going to talk about this coming up, about building those kind of homes. But at the end of the day, you may have devotion at night. That's fine if that works for you. But the best way that works in my family is while I'm taking Lily to soccer practice to talk about what you've been reading in the scriptures this week. Or what did you learn at youth group Wednesday night? Well, Daddy, we learned about Moses. And I'll play dumb. I said, who's Moses? And she'll begin to tell me, because I know scientifically that when my children can articulate their faith with words, they begin to own them. And if they cannot articulate their experiences religiously, they don't own them or possess them. And so that takes a conversation that you have with your children to build solid families, not hollow families. And I'm getting ready to close, because I'm ready to eat this Easter bunny. Somebody say that. So here's the big problem. We could call ourselves a Christian family and not be Christ-centered and actually be hollow. Because Christ is not the center of our family, our dating relationships, of our time with our grandchildren. But solid means that Christ is at the center of the life. So how do you build solid? Number one, everybody go to James chapter 3, verse 16, very quickly. Listen to me, men. You got to build selflessly. I've got family members that are some of the most selfish people I've ever met in my life, and they have no children, and that's the reason why. And I'm not saying if you don't have children or you're not married that you're selfless, but in this particular case it is, but because how many of you parents realize that if you want a good dose of humility and what it is to put yourself second or third, have a bunch of kids. Let me see your heads. That's right. But look at what James says about building solid. He says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Let's read it again, James 3:16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. That word, emulations there, you find envy. Actually means jealousy and fiery wrath, and it means you act like you're glad something happened to your spouse or for your children, but you really wish it had happened to you. And it says contentions, which is the Greek word which means seek its own. It's selfish ambitions, if you will. It means schemes. And look at the word commotions. You'll find envy and self-ambition, therefore you will find disorder. What is disorder? This was fascinating to me. Let me read it slowly for you. For where you have envy and selfish ambitions, I'll add Michael's version, you will have a hollow home. There in that hollowed home, you will find disorder. Disorder is the uncertainty of residence. and it gives us our word tumultuous. And so the apostle, but James, the half-brother of Jesus, literally says that if you build hollow, you will always, the problem is you have an uncertainty of residence. God is a part of your family. He's not the center of your family. God's the part of the time you spend with grandchildren. He's not the center of it. He's part of the dating relationship. He's not the center. And that will bring disorder to your life. But if you dare to build solid, like the Apostle Paul says, and you watch vain philosophies that come into your families, and you are able to articulate that intentionally with your children, you will build solid. So how do you build solid? You build solid by being selfless. Because selflessness actually keeps your home from divorce. Jesus himself said, why did Moses give a certificate of divorce? He said, because one hardened her heart and the other one did not. Now, the Bible says that if you have an affair on your spouse and you have committed adultery, you're bound. And your spouse that was not committing adultery is free to choose to divorce you or not to divorce you. And the Bible says you're free. But then Jesus turns around and says, if you could just not harden your heart and get into some good counseling, because your church has a full-time marriage and family therapist, we'll help you put your homes back together. And instead of your homes looking like this because it was hollowed, your home can look like this, and it can be solid. And so you got to live selfless. And then number two, you got to live sacrificially. Romans 12, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, as the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me put it in English. A, B, C. A, B, C. Christ is at the center. So what do? You settle right now who's going to be at the center of your family. And number two, you begin to pray, Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14, over your family. And then what's next? You got to learn to build sacred. I'll see you next week. Everybody stand. If you're a lady, will you lift your hands? How many of you gotten anything out of this morning? If you're a lady, will you lift your hands? According to the Old Testament, which we revere as well, and as the priest of hundreds of homes, I bless you, ladies, with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah, just like Abraham would have. If you're a man, would you lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. Let everyone lift their hands. Now I pray a prayer of blessings over your family. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look with favor on you. And may he give you the peace of shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And everybody said, amen. Love on each other, and I'll see you Wednesday.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.